Imam Sadiq Online Seminary. Website www.imamsadiq.tv. Subject: Sarf. Book: A Summary of Tasrif. Teacher: Sheikh Muhammad Baqir Nijad. Lesson number 2.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلة ورحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم my dear students. This is our second lesson. In previous lesson we talked about the importance of learning Sarf, علم الصرف. We say that why we should learn this language, why we should learn this science. We say that in order to be a good Islamic scholar who would be able to derive the Islamic concepts from the Islamic resources, we should be able to learn, we should be able to understand the Arabic language. And we cannot depend on the available translations, of course. Then we say that in the Arabic science, the Arabic language has at least four different sciences. One is called علم الصرف, which is morphology, which is the book that we are about to study. The other one is علم النحو, syntax, which is about the sentence structure. The other one is بلاغة, rhetoric. And the other one is, the fourth one is علم اللغة, which analyzes and looks for the meanings, the original meanings of words. Now, we started talking about علم الصرف. We read the first page. We say that علم الصرف, we define علم الصرف. We say that علم الصرف helps us to analyze a word. And we talk about, in علم الصرف, we talk about construction of a word and how to derive several words from one original word. For example, we gave, remember we gave the example of علم. عالم, معلوم, يعلم, إعلم, for example. And all of these are derived from the original word of عل. Or, for example, the word رجل, which means a man, رجلان, two men, and رجال, which means three or more men. So, we derive رجلان and رجال from the original word, which is رجل. This happens, and this is done in علم الصرف, and we learn how to do this in علم الصرف. Now, on second page, the benefit of the study of Tasrif. The Arabic language has a very organized system of derivation. It is imperative to engage in the study of Tasrif in order to become thoroughly familiar with the Arabic word and nuances of its meaning. Tasrif is the foundation a student first establishes in his quest for mastery of the Arabic language. So this is like a first step that you're going to build on your Arabic language. You got to learn the word, then you zoom out, you go to sentence, then you zoom out, you go to علم البلاغة to look at the paragraph and the saying overall. With careful study, memorization, and practice, a strong knowledge of the Arabic word is an objective well within reach. With this foundation, the study of syntax or nahw, the next level of grammar will be made easier. With these two branches of grammar, a student can gain a comprehensive knowledge of the Arabic language. So this علم الصرف, this knowledge, this science will help us to build our first step of learning the Arabic language. Let me give you an example to get a view, to get an understanding of what we are talking about here and what's the benefit of studying علم الصرف. I'm writing this word, ينصرون. yansuruna. Okay, yansuruna. Now, a person who does not know ilm al-sarf, when he looks at this word, he would have no clue and no idea of what this word means. Now, if he wants to go and look it up on dictionary, even if he does that, he would not be able to find it in the dictionary. And I would tell you why. But the person who knows the ilm al-sarf, who has studied this book, when he looks at this word, he would know, he would say that, oh my God, I know a lot about this word. First of all, when I see ya, the letter ya, in the beginning of this word, I know that this is a verb. Not only is it a verb, it's a present tense verb. Because ya is alamatul fi'lul mudar. Alamatul fi'lul mudar is the indication of present tense verb. And he would say, okay, and also I would know by looking at the word, the letter ya, that this word is not only is the verb, it's present tense verb, it's also for a third person, which means غائب or غائب, right? So he knows all of this by just looking at this letter ya. Also, he would know by looking at the word wav in here, he would say, okay, so this is plural, masculine plural, because wav is indication of subject, of the subject of a verb, in for the third siga, for the third pattern of mudara, of present tense verb. And noon is alamatul raf. So he knows a lot about this word. He would know that even if he doesn't know what the root word means, noon, sad, ra, nasr, even if he has no clue about the meaning of the root word, right? He would know, you know, he would have some clues about this word. He would know that this is a present tense verb, a third siga, as we call it, third pattern, which is the plural masculine of the third person, and it's known as alamatul raf, which we will talk about it later. Now, and then when he figures out this, he would know, okay, noon, sad, and ra, nasr. This is the root word. And to find the meaning of this word, he just has to go to look up, take his dictionary and look up the letter noon in the dictionary. And over there, he would find the meaning of nasr, which is to help, right? To help. So he would be able to figure out the meaning of this word if he knows al-Mustarf. But the person who doesn't know al-Mustarf, right? No, he has no clue about it. Even if he takes the dictionary to look for this word, he would not be able to find it. Doesn't matter how much he looks up in the dictionary, he would not be able to find it in the dictionary. Why? Because he looks at this word and say, well, this word starts with ya, right? So ya, he would go to ya in the dictionaries are based on the is on alphabetical order, right? So he would go to the section that has all the words that start with ya, with ya. So he goes there, he looks everywhere, he doesn't find it. And it's very simple and very clear why he cannot find it, because this word does not start with ya. Ya is just an indication of a present tense verb. This word starts with noon. So he has to go and look in noon in the dictionary. So this is actually the benefit of knowing al-mustarf. Not knowing al-mustarf, if you don't know the al-mustarf, you will not be able to find out the meanings of words, Arabic words, even in dictionary. Okay, next section. The topic of tasrif. What's the topic of tasrif? The topic of the study of tasrif is the Arabic word or the kalima. In tasrif, the kalima is examined from the viewpoint of its origin, construction, and its particularities in usage and meaning. Okay, so you just like I explained here, by the thing that I just explained, you would know by now that what are we going to learn in al-mustarf. You're going to learn about kalima. Kalima is Arabic word. So we're going to talk about, we're going to analyze Arabic words. We're going to look at the construction of Arabic words, its origin, and what are the particularities of each word. As I just explained, you know, we analyzed it. We took out ya, we said this represents, you know, present tense verb. We took out waw, we say that this represents the fa'il, the subject basically, masculine, plural. And we took out noon, and we said that this is alamatul raf, indication of the state of raf. And we took out noon, sad, and ra, we say that this is the original word, the original root word, which means to help. And what this word means, based on what we, you know, just analyzed, it means this word, yansuruna, means they are helping, right? Because present tense verb is referring to masculine plural, and it's present. So it's yansuruna means they are helping. So you see that we are analyzing words. We are analyzing Arabic words and look at their particularities and the construction of them. Definition of the kalima. So now we learn that al-mustaf is about kalima. So what is kalima? Before I continue, I know that some of you are thinking to yourself, oh my God. Shaykhana, this is too complex. This is so hard for me to learn, and I'm about to drop this class. No, don't do that. Why? First of all, relax, take a deep breath, and say salawat for Imam Mahdi Ajjala Ta'ala Farajah al-Sharif, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad Ajjala Farajahum, and ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and his representative Imam Mahdi Ajjala Ta'ala Farajah al-Sharif to help us, inshallah, with learning the science. Inshallah, Allah will help you, but you have to work hard, you have to study the way that I explained last class. Before you watch this lesson, read the lesson, then come to class, take notes, and listen to the lecture. Then after that, go ahead and study the lesson one more time, then have mubahatha, a discussion with your friends about the lesson that you just learned, and then finally write a summary of the lesson so you would stick it into your mind. And inshallah, Allah will help. It will help you, inshallah. Don't worry. Okay, let's move on. Definition of the kalima. Whenever a man speaks, his expressions, alfaz, are either meaningful or unmeaningful. So whenever you say something, whenever a sound come out of our mouth, they're either meaningful or not meaningful, right? The kalima is a singular expression signifying a particular meaning, right? So the kalima is the one that signifies a meaning, that has a meaning, the one that has a meaning. So I could say chafandar qaychi. You know, you are looking at me like, what is the sheikh talking about? Chafandar qaychi, I just say something, expression, which did not have any meaning, right? Just bunch of letters put together, doesn't indicate anything, right? So that's a lafzun muhmal, a lafz which does not have a meaning. But if I say, for example, kitab means what? A book. Now, that has a meaning, right? So we are talking about words that have a meaning, lafzun musta'mal. The kalima is a singular expression, in that it is a word as opposed to a sentence. In tasrif, a meaningful expression is called an expression in usage or lafzun musta'mal. So, you know that we are talking about kalima, not kalam, not jumla, not a sentence. We have zoomed in to the kalima, which is a meaningful word. Okay. Next section, which is very important to know, and we are about to start learning this, you know, whatever we learned up to now was almost like introduction, right, to al-mustaf. But now we are getting into the real stuff. The division of the kalima. Now, let me write this chart for you on the board So you can write it, you can take notes and write it in your book, inshallah. It's very important for you guys to have a book printed. You can either have a notebook beside the book and write these notes on that notebook, which I do not recommend, because it would become very hard for you. I know it's like this book is about like 300 pages, and if you want to have the notes in a separate notebook, and it's going to be very hard for you after you're done with this book for studying. You know, you have to refer back to notebook and come back to the book. If you have the notes right in the place that you need to, you know, write them in your book, then it would be easier for you to study the book, inshallah. And also another thing I want to mention and ask you to do is whenever I'm writing something on the board, please, please, please write it in Arabic. Do not write it in English. I know when I say, for example, kalima, right? You want to write kalima. Okay, Sheikh said kalima. So you write it like this. Don't do that. I know writing Arabic is a little bit of a challenge for some of you, but you have to get used to writing Arabic words. You have to do that. Otherwise, you would be in big problem later on. So try to write it in Arabic. Okay. Kalima. We say that the topic or the subject or the topic of this ilm al-musarif is kalima. Now, so any word that you see in Arabic, that in Quran, in narrations, everywhere, is a kalima. Now, a kalima is either ism or fi'l or harf. Okay, a kalima is either ism, fi'l, or harf. Okay, so what does this mean? It means that any word. I know that, you know, in English you would categorize words into many different categories, right? Adjective, noun, adverb, verb, particles, pronouns. But in Arabic, there are three main categories of words. And everything else go under one of these main categories. So be aware of it. So the first one, so as we say that any word that you see is either S or fi'l or harf. Now, what is S? Let's go back to the book. Arabic words are like words in many other languages in that they can be divided into three groups. The noun, or ism, al-ism, is a kalima that signifies an independent meaning without being associated with the tense of time, the past, present, or future. For example, ilm, which means knowledge, and mal, which means wealth. Okay? So, ism means what? Noun. Now, I know that, for example, in English, we don't consider adjectives as nouns, but so don't try to define these terms by one word in English. Let me tell you this. In Hawza studies, you will be learning a lot of terms, right? In Ilm al-Sarf, Ilm al-Nahw, logic, you will be learning a lot of terms, right? And I would recommend you to have like a glossary book for yourself so you can write terms and write the definition in front of it. Now, when you're learning these terms, do not try to translate them into one English word and remember them by that word, by that English translation of the term. Do not do that. Because many times, these words, these terms, cannot be translated into one single English word. So you need to learn the definition. Right? I'm going to define S now and write down the definition of S. And whenever you, we talk about S, remember the definition. Right? Forget about noun. Forget about the word noun. Learn the and memorize the definition, not the English translation of that word, right? Because as I said, just like this example here, F, we translate to noun. But noun does not cover all of the things, all of the words that ism covers in Arabic. So please be aware of it. Okay, so what is ism? Ism is a word, is a kalima that has an independent meaning. A kalima that has an independent meaning. What does it mean to have an independent meaning? Well, independent meaning, when we say that ism has independent meaning, it means that when I tell you, for example, bayt, which means house, right? A house. Bayt, house. It has an independent meaning. What does it mean? It means that you would know you understand the meaning without the help of any other word. So you understand the meaning of bayt without the help of any other word. Unlike harf, which we'll get into, harf, it's the meaning of harf cannot be understood unless there is a word before or after it, right? So S has independent meaning, and that means that it does not need, it's not in need of any other word to give you its meaning, to signify its meaning. Okay. So it has independent meaning without time. And that's the difference between ism and fi'l. Both ism and fi'l have independent meaning. They don't need any other word to come and help them to give you their meaning. They by themselves can, you know, give you their own meaning. So they have independent meaning. But S has no time tense in it. When I say bayt, or which means a house, a car, a tree, you know, mal, which means wealth, right? When I say these words, you do not understand any time tense. There's no time, there's no meaning of time in these words. So any word that has these two characteristics, number one, independent meaning, number two, there's no time tense. It is this. So what is fi'l? By now you should know. The verb or fi'l is a kalima that signifies an independent meaning in association with one of the tenses of time, sorry. Meaning the past, al-madi, present, al-hal, and future, al-mustaqbal. For example, dhahaba, which means he left, is past tense. Yadhhabu, he is living, is present tense. And idhhab means leave, is a command verb, and is a present tense command verb. Okay? So it has independent meaning. When I say dhahaba, right? You understand an independent meaning. It has an independent meaning, meaning that it does not need any other word to signify its meaning, right? But, and it also has a time. Zahaba means he left. So you understood a time. When did he leave? In past, right? So you write independent, S has independent meaning with no time tense. Fail has independent meaning with time. It's associated with a time tense. Okay. Easy. Before we go to half, let's have a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajjal farajahum wa an adubahum. Okay, al-harf. The particle or harf is a kalima that does not signify an independent meaning in itself. Okay, so unlike fi'l and ism, harf does not have independent meaning. Rather, it links other kalima together and its meaning is interpreted through this linkage. As seen by the particle fi in the following sentence, دخلتُ في المدرسة. I entered into the school. Okay, let me give you this example. دخلتُ في في المدرسة. Okay. دخلت في المدرسة. Now, when I say دخلت في المدرسة, دخلت means I entered, right? I entered. Madrasa means what? School. I know most of you know what it means. I entered into school. Into the school. Right? So, we are talking about fi. Fi means into. Right? Okay. Very good. So, we said that harf does not have independent meaning. What does it mean? It means that if we take out dakhalto and al madrasa and we just say into or fi, you would ask me, what do you mean? Fi, the word fi by itself does not signify a meaning to us, right? It does not signify a meaning. How does the meaning of fi become apparent to us? When it is put into a sentence, right? And then we can figure out what it means, right? دخلتُ في المدرسة. I entered into the school. So here, the word في, which means into, the meaning of في becomes apparent to us because it is put into a sentence. Without that, we could not figure out what is meant by في, right? Into. So, fi is harf. What is dakhaltu? Let's do a practice. What is dakhaltu? Does it have independent meaning? Yes, I entered independent meaning, right? And so, it's either اسم and fi'l, right? Is it اس or fi'l? Dakhaltu, I entered, right? In the past, so it has time tense in it. So, what is it? Yes. It is a fi'l. Al-madrasa. What is it? It's the school. Is it harf, fi'l, or s? Well, it has independent meaning. When I say madrasa, school, you understand the meaning without the help of any other word. So, it's either fi'l or s. Now, madrasa. Does it have a time tense? No. Right? Madrasa is madrasa. And madrasa is always present. Right? There's no time for madrasa. We always need to be in madrasa. We always need to be in school and learn and learn and learn, inshallah. So there's no time for school. Okay, so we know that madrasa is what? Is S. Okay, next. So you see that it links harf, fi, the particle fi, links the word dakhaltu to al-madrasa. You know, without this particle fi, right, we would not be able to understand. You know, if it was just like دخلت المدرسة, you know, the meaning would not be complete. So you need the word fi to link these two words, دخلت and المدرسة. I entered into the school. And the particle من in the sentence خرجت من الدار. I emerged from the house, or I came out from the house. So, you see that in this example, the word men is, again, kharajtu is a fi'l, is a verb. Why is it a verb? Because it has independent meaning, and it has a time tense. Kharajtu, I came out in the past, so it's a fi'l. And dar, which means house, the house, is S because it has independent meaning and there is no time in the meaning of dar or the house. And the word men is harf, right? Why? Because it means from. Now if I just say from, you're like, you know, you would ask me, okay Shaykhana, what do you mean from? Right? Please give me another word to understand what you mean, right? So that's why we say that man does not have independent meaning, it's dependent. And its meaning is known through by the sentence, in the sentence. Okay, very good. So we have S. So any word, let's review. Any word you see in Arabic is either S فعل or حرف. Any word. So if you find a word that does not go under any of these categories, I give you $1 million. Just kidding. Yeah, there's no such a word that cannot be categorized as any of these three. Okay, let's have another salawat before we go into this next section. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Primary words and derivatives. The kalima can either be a substantive word, al-jamid, or a derivative word, al-mushtaq. The substantive word is that word which is not derived from another word. Its original letters are not derived from other words, such as fil, saif, and tamar, right? Which means elephant, sword, and a date, right? So, a jamid or substantive word. Now, kalima, any kalima that you see in Arabic, is either jamid or mushtaq. Jamid is a word that it's taken from the alphabet. Alphabet is directly taken from the alphabet. It's not taken from any other word, right? Let me give you an example. Just written here. Okay. We have the alphabet. You know the alphabet, right? Alif, ba, ta, tha, jim, ha, kha, and to the end, right? And of course, we have somewhere we have fa, and then somewhere we have sin and ya in this sequence, right? So how is the word saif, which means a sword, made? The Arabs took the letter sin. They brought down the letter ya, and then they brought down the letter fa and said saif, which means a sword. So a jamid, a word which is jamid, it is taken directly from the alphabet. It's not taken from any other word. Okay? So we say that saif is jamid, not derivative, right? Another example would be like the word ilm, right? The word ilm, which means knowledge, is also jamid because it's taken from the alphabet. Okay. Next page. The derivative word is derived from another word, as in alim, alimun, madhhabun, and madhhab and Islam, a learned person, a sect, and Islam. The word from which the derivative word is taken is the root word, right? For example, the word alim, right? The word alim is derived from the word ilm. So we call alim mushtaq, right? Another derivative word is alima, which means he knew. Ya'lamu, he knows. So alima is taken from ilm. Alima means he knew. It's taken from ilm. And then from the word alima, which means he knew, is past tense, fil madi, mudara is derived, which is ya'lamu, means he knows. So you see the order. Alim is the root word of alima, and alima is the root word of ya'lamu. You see that? Ilm is the root word of alima, and ya'lamu, alima is the root word of ya'lamu. Why? Because ya'lamu is derived from alima, and alima is derived from very good. So the word from which the derivative word is taken is the root word or al-asl. Al-asl. So al-asl for alima is ilm. Al-asl for ya'lamu is alima, because it is taken from alima. Okay. From the root word, many derivatives can be formed, and both the root word and the derivative word are said to be the same genus or gens, al-gens. Okay, that's it for this lesson. Before I finish today's lesson, let me tell you something. The person who translated this book has done a great job. This is the translation of the book called Sarf al-Sadeh in Farsi. Mr. Brother Ali Abdul Rashid has translated into English, and the book that we are studying. Now, some part, he has done a great job, but some parts, there are some mistakes. You know, we only have 14 infallibles, right? So, and the prophets, of course. But, you know, anyone can make mistakes. So, there are some mistakes in this book. And inshallah, as we go along, you know, we are studying this book, I will tell you where is the mistake and where you have to fix and what you have to do, inshallah. Inshallah, in future, when people are watching these lessons, this book is already edited and fixed. So for now, you see, after the place that I stopped, it says the root word can be one of two kinds. Just take off that part, you know, from that place, this root word, take off that part until where it says original letters and additional letters. So all of that, skip it, and it should not be there. And you know, from the root word can be one of two kinds, and the next paragraph should be taken away from this book. And inshallah, next class when we come, we go to the next part, which is original letters and additional letters. We'll discuss that inshallah, by the help of Imam Mahdi Ajjala Ta'ala Faraj al-Sharif. I hope that you enjoyed today's lesson and you learned the stuff that we talked about. If you have any questions, don't forget to ask me, inshallah.
Imam Sadiq Online Seminary. Website www.imamsadiq.tv.